23 birds of people.
And now in season 7.
Presented by Fruits. Ja, herzlich willkommen wieder zur Serie 23 Birds of People. Und diese Season 7, der Werdegang und Personality-Folgen, ist presented by Fruits. Mein Name ist Christian Drastil, ich bin der Host dieses Podcasts und mein dritter Gast in Season 7 ist Serene. And for her, I will now, for the first time ever in the Birds of People podcast, switch to English. Serene started to code when she was 9, was hired by Google as a teenager and was the first engineer at Google Ideas. And also she is one of the world's finest artists on the piano. Viennese company Bösendorfer elevated her in May 2023 as a Bösendorfer artist. Welcome to the studio. You're in Vienna because you're introduced next week as a Bösendorfer artist. We will talk about music, we will talk about Google, we will talk about stock markets. You're my first guest in English. I will try it, yes.
Well, it's such a pleasure and an honor.
Also, and I have connected my Roland Phantom 06 keyboard with a piano, a mood, and maybe we can do a little bit of music later. But let's talk first about Bösendorfer, how it began, how it started.
So many years ago, I had only thought of Bösendorfer as this abstract, beautiful piano that I have never seen before. In America, there are some Bösendorfers, but not so many.
Okay. My cousin worked for Bösendorfer 40 years ago as an engineer. He built some Bösendorfer pianos.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So my path to finding this connection with Bösendorfer pianos is very much connected to my path as a pianist. Mm-hmm. Because you know that I've had an unusual path towards music.
And you learned piano as a child, I think, and...
Not exactly.
No? Later on?
The first time I touched the piano, I was 5.
5, okay.
But basically I did not have the opportunity to play on pianos or practice or mm-hmm. study formally even. Actually, it was because I was hired by Google mm-hmm. as a teenager that I was able to afford my first piano.
Okay.
And that's when I could really start to practice.
So Google was a little bit the beginning of your career because you had the money then.
Yes, and also I was at the Google New York office, which has a piano. And so somehow I found myself gravitating toward this office piano until it was basically my desk.
Okay. And you were later on the first engineer at Google Ideas. It sounds great. What does it mean? What was your job?
Well, I wrote a lot of code.
Yeah.
I built a lot of prototypes. Google Ideas at the time was a very new think tank that had a focus on using technology to help people.
Yeah.
And I was very excited to find a way to, in a place where the context has this level of infrastructure, this scale, how can we build something that can truly help the internet, mm-hmm. help all the users of the internet?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah. And you had ideas like also, I think, Snowstorm.
So that was much later.
Okay.
So I had quit Google for a long time by then.
Mm-hmm.
I was already just playing music every day.
Okay.
But also exploring an open source. That's when I created Snowflake mm-hmm. as a tool to keep the internet free. Mm-hmm. It is a backup route to the internet in case accessing it is...
And you told me about the Tor project, T-O-R.
Yes.
Yes. Some words about it, please.
Yes, Tor project, T-O-R, stands for the Onion Router.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for a long time, helping people stay private and anonymous. Oftentimes, accessing Tor is also difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It can be blocked. And so the first use case for Snowflake was to integrate with Tor
mm-hmm.
and help them stay unblocked and accessible.
Okay. And
Now let's do some music. I love music and I love the stock market. Were you ever invested in Google stock?
Well, of course.
Of course, and I think it was a great time, or?
Yes.
Austrian company, Austrian Post, did a sound logo, how they want to hear themselves in the news, and also, and I will bring it now. What do you say about it? It's a sound logo with typical samples from Post Daily Work, yeah? What's your opinion?
Okay. Seems like a dance party.
I will plug your own. Okay. Wow. Nice. You heard it now and played it for the first time.
Oh yeah, perfect pitch. I mean, this is a Roland keyboard.
Okay.
I don't usually.
It's no Bösendorfer.
It's not a Bösendorfer.
But it's a Roland. I love my Roland. Also, Bösendorfer, yes, it's too big for my small office here, and I'm not able to play it. Of course, not like you. Another one just for what reminds you of Vienna. Oh, this was great stuff from Johann Sebastian Bach. Serene, do you also have something for rising markets, for bull markets, and stocks are rising up? Sounds like Enya. Yes. And now for bearish markets when the stocks are falling and crashing. Yeah, it's a piano again. And this is the bottom now from the market. Yes, I love it. It's creative. It's life. It was now. And yes, coming back to your as a componist, you played now small things, but you also did work for Kanye West. You told me, or work with the Blue Man Group. Which direction this is going?
I guess a few years ago, I was asked to help with the Kanye West opera, which is it was an interesting project in this very last minute. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was a composer on this opera. Mm-hmm. What I did was improvise on the songs of mm-hmm. Kanye, kind of find a way to transcribe that into a more operatic setting.
Okay. You heard already existing songs and did additional stuff to make it more soundy.
Yes.
Okay. And the Blue Man Group?
So the founder of Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
His name is Chris Wink, mm-hmm. brilliant guy. We had a collaboration in Las Vegas a few years ago as well. Mm-hmm. And there I was playing with music technology. I actually created a piano car, mm-hmm. piano that I could drive, like literally drive while playing.
Okay.
And then a few other fun experiments.
Yeah. On 23rd of May, you're introduced as a Bösendorfer artist, and I think we will hear you. What kind of music you will play on the Bösendorfer?
I'll play some pieces by Ravel, Liszt, Chopin, probably maybe Kapustin.
Yeah.
Well, then I will say, so on the 23rd is the ceremony.
Okay.
And then on the 24th is the main concert at the concert house.
Okay.
And there I'm playing two piano concertos.
And what do you love about the Bösendorfer song?
There's a beautiful sensitivity and range, and it lets me express certain things in ways that are not possible on other instruments. It lets me express certain things that are not possible with other instruments.
Mm.
And of course, the construction, it's a long tradition, almost 200 years.
Yes, of tradition, yeah. And you also have a Bösendorfer piano?
I do.
Wow, nice. And what's so nice about coding?
Coding is beautiful. It's also a creative act.
Yeah.
It's like, in some ways, magic.
Yeah.
It has changed things the way that language has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The way humans have been able to exist and relate to each other. The advent of language was world-changing. The advent of programming languages is the advent of languages that can modify themselves. And this creates an acceleration of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're writing code, what you're kind of doing is, you're inputting symbols into a system. You're writing incantations into these funny devices, which at the end of the day cause a lot of electrons to move around somewhere. And some of those electrons move around on the other side of the world.
Mm. And what do you think about ChatGPT now?
Well, it's very interesting, of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation going on around this. Kind of the dichotomy of people who are very gung-ho about the acceleration of AI. People who are very... And then there's people who are very terrified of that prospect, for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is some elements that we're still blind to.
Mm.
And one of those elements is actually the cultural technology needed to build these systems correctly.
Mm.
There's a lot of brilliant technologists devoting so much energy into these amazing AI systems at whatever level this is, whatever models we're building and refining. But similar to even before all of this ChatGPT stuff, we have these powerful platforms that have taken over the internet and embedded themselves into our lives already. And we've done this without necessarily the social awareness and social technology to make sure that happens in a wise and actually healthy way. And so we see some of the destruction that's a side effect, second order, third order effect. The same thing will happen with AI if we're not careful.
Yes, kind of course. Already there. Yeah. And when you think about a mashup of KI and music composing, what's your opinion on this stuff?
It's an interesting tool. I have already been exploring this.
Yes.
As you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was actually doing an AI collaborative concert with Grimes. In Montenegro.
Yeah.
And this was just a fun last minute prototype. But we threw together something and it was super fun. Things will keep happening with creative applications of AI.
More to come, music from Serene with AI support?
Possibly.
And with the Bösendorfer piano, you will go all over the world and do your concertos, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very curious what you think. Like, where do you think all this will go for you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward in the stock market as also algos for trading working now. I think not working good at the moment because human brains and human stomach and all these things are very important for markets. But I love it as a journalist, yeah, because it does so much work for you. We're at the beginning of this journey now, and I think I possibly will love it as a hobby musician also.
Podcast.
Yeah, you said you like vocoders.
Of course. Yeah. I've played with vocoders.
Yeah.
They're very interesting.
Yeah, I love them because I'm not able to sing very good, and well, the vocoder helps me.
My voice is also terrible. Yeah. But for this AI collaboration with Grimes, mm-hmm. Grimes, who is a fantastic, innovative artist, I was singing the lines of the Rachmaninoff concerto.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AI converted my voice into her voice.
Oh.
And a lot of this actually, there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in music, AI, creative applications of AI, mm-hmm. visual art as well. We will soon see a lot of very unpredictable but very powerful applications of this in every domain.
Yeah.
Even, like, for instance, in the medical field, there's already models that outperform doctors when they get presented with a X-ray.
Yeah.
They can analyze it with much more detail and accuracy. It's an open question whether their accuracy level will go from, you know, like 80% to 100%, or if they will cap out at something like 90-95%.
Yeah.
And a lot of those questions actually depend on, do we actually have the fundamentals correct with our models? I think one of the elements that's missing from things like LLMs is an actual sense of temporality and an overfocus on, well, language models by definition.
Mm-hmm.
As a musician, you know that there's interesting correlations between your musical experience and also language, but also mathematics and also all of these other fields, and then that as a way to reach into one's emotional world. And part of one of the interesting powers of music is that we can relate to it at what seems to be a much deeper level. And this is why people go to concerts and have an incredible time and have such a deep connection with their favorite artists. For the AI to really have to develop in a healthy way, compassionate way, I think music is actually one of the keys. Temporality in music.
Yeah, I think music and AI is a perfect fit. And also what you mentioned before with vocoding your voice, it's great. Componist sings. What is coming from you as a musician in the near future, you think?
I will continue to play classical pieces.
Yeah.
I'll play piano concertos. I'm doing a couple music festivals soon. But at the same time, I'm very excited to explore a lot of these new ideas that are enabled by these new technologies.
Yes.
I've always straddled both worlds, music and technology.
I think it's a mashup of coding and music. Yeah. And I think you also did a concerto for Ukraine. I read something about it. Yeah.
I did. I was delighted to help with the benefit concert to raise money via the World Central Kitchen for, you know, all the people displaced and affected by this terrible thing. Because of all of the developments in the last year and people relying on Snowflake, the network, it became clear that we needed to support that project better. And that's what Snowstorm is. It's formalizing that open source project into a more sustainable model and building a real circumvention layer that protects access to the internet for everybody.
So
I have founded the company Snowstorm. We have a growing team. We've raised some money.
Maybe you get listed on stock market with it later on. Doing an IPO. Yeah. Is there an impact to the Ukrainian war?
Yeah, so you probably know about VPNs. Yeah.
But you can pronounce it for my audience.
Yes. So virtual private networks, VPNs. Yeah. But the usage of VPNs, it's gone up a lot. The definition of VPNs has also changed. A long time ago, it was meant to secure corporate networks.
Mm.
At some point, that shifted into a consumer model where now we're providing access, enabling access to the global internet with VPNs. However, standard VPNs are mostly doing the same thing technically.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you're connecting to the internet through someone else's computer. And these VPN companies, they just have people running these servers in many different locations that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great business model. This is why it's a $40 billion plus market and growing 15% every year. The issue with traditional VPNs is it's centralized and it's very easy to block. So when the invasion of Ukraine began, actually, most all the VPNs were blocked.
Mm.
They stopped working. Somehow, the technology that was still working for keeping people online was some random code that I had written 7 years ago. And that code was Snowflake. The reason why it worked was because it's a decentralized proxy network that uses WebRTC. It transforms your traffic to look basically like video calls. And it has some other techniques to make it very hard to block. I built this for fun.
Okay.
Well, I named it Snowflake many years ago because, well, you have all of these temporary proxies that come in and out of existence. It's the free parts of the internet helping the less free parts of the internet. If you want to contribute to the network, it's as easy as leaving your browser tab open that has Snowflake embedded.
Okay.
Because it's so easy, that's why adoption grew so quickly.
Mm.
But we can always do better. And we have to. And we have to start expanding that kind of ease and convenience to more layers and different levels of the stack. Like the internet itself has, it's this brilliant thing. It's not, for most of human history, we've not had this planetary communications network at almost light speed. Now we do. And it's a beautiful thing. But also we are kind of, as a species, destroying it.
Yeah.
Having it splinter, having it be manipulated. And our lives depend on the internet now in very fundamental ways. It's like clean air or water at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that gets interrupted somehow, very bad things can happen.
Do you sometimes have fears that you and others, they are able to code, that you're creating monsters with this coding?
I think that it's always good and important to have some humility around what we're creating.
So nice ending words from Serene. She sent me a concerto she played Rachmaninoff Concerto number 3. Thanks for hearing this issue of Börse People. For me, it was great. I hope for you too. Bye bye from Christian and Serene. And Rachmaninoff.